Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We're up there and, like, here are the people on the panel, so I'm, like, taking pot shots at Brian Brown. Because, like, that's what he came to Buffalo for.
It's Mike Shope.
You literally told EJ Manuel to his face that he sucked.
And the Bulldog.
I was proud of you. Because no.
I feel like that's what you're there for.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I know. I couldn't, though. No. I couldn't.
I'm better than you.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Memories of the Eric Wood roast right there. Here's a man that's been on many shows. I'm trying to think of a comp for Davis Maddock in sort of in a fantasy football, fantasy sports context. Like, who's a guy, I'm a little old for this, but who's a guy that, like, Bulldog, you would see, and you would always be excited to see him on, like, late night talk shows, like a Bill Murray. Whatever show you tune, who's on Letterman the night? Even Carson, I'm sorry, it's a long time. Who's on the night? Bill Murray, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Davis here, I mean, he's got his own stuff, Sports Grid, but also, I mean, oh, Swolecast, there's Davis Maddox, Ship Chasing, Legendary Upside. Davis, I mean, I don't know, Bill Murray, I think you probably are, you know who Bill Murray is. I mean, I mean this all as a compliment. You are somebody that I'm always happy. This is the point now.
This is going great so far.
I'm always happy to hear that you're going to be on a show that I'm turning on. That's the point.
I will take the Bill Murray comp. The Bill Murray comp is extremely complimentary. I'm 31 years old, so I'm old enough to have fond memories of Bill Murray.
In, like, what? Groundhog Day Bill Murray, maybe, right? Like, not SNL.
Correct. Yeah, Groundhog Day, Caddyshack. That's my Bill Murray memory.
That's fine.
That works.
Fine.
That works. Yep.
Well, welcome back, Davis. It's been a while. I know some of your takes, not all. We're talking every day around here about the Bills and the draft and wide receivers. Say you're a Chiefs guy. Say you're a Bills, just for today. Say you're a Bills fan. What's the best case scenario for you in round one? And if we're talking about, like, these receivers whose names are being bandied about constantly, all as possibilities late first, are there a few of them where it would pretty much be the same thing, where you would feel good for the Bills?
I mean, I think best case scenario for the Bills is that somehow all of this wide receiver chatter we're hearing is a lie. It's smoke. It ends up being a huge offensive line draft, ends up being a huge cornerback draft. And they find a way to get Brian Thomas Jr. without having to give up any additional draft capital. I think second after that would be trading up to take Brian Thomas Jr. And then other than that, I mean, it's pretty controversial. They're very polarizing. The two Texas guys, Xavier Worthy and A.D. Mitchell. Worthy, I think, probably is not the wide receiver that the Bills need. They have a lot of guys who have duplicative skill sets with him. But if I'm a Bills fan, I'm welcoming A.D. Mitchell to Buffalo with open arms.
The thing that appeals to me about Worthy, I decided an hour ago to starting our show that Worthy is my new favorite idea. So this is going to go great for us. The Bills have small guys, Davis, but they do not have that speed. Like they just have not had that really. Going back, I can remember feeling this way after the 2020 AFC Championship game when Tyreek Hill danced on the Bills. Like, I need some of that. I need some juice. I don't have any of that. And the Bills really never have gotten there. So that's appealing to me about Worthy.
I think that is totally valid. Having someone that is that fast, having someone that is that game-breaking, that can turn, you know, 21-17 game in the fourth quarter into a 24-21 game on, you know, one end around one slant, I think is totally appealing. I don't think Xavier Worthy would be a bad pick. I just don't think it's the one that Bob, I just find it very unlikely that would be the pick that they would make, because I mean, I think their plan is for Dalton Kincaid and for Curtis Samuel to own the middle of the field. But again, I don't think it would be bad. And I mean, this is going to be an unpopular opinion on Buffalo Talk Radio, but I don't think that the Bills should be beholden to the fact that they just spent a first-round pick on Dalton Kincaid in building their 2024 offense and saying, we have to make sure that Kincaid gets 7 targets a game. Like, if Kincaid works out, it's awesome, but definitely don't let it preclude you from picking good players this year.
Boy, I'm 100% with you on that. I mean, I like Kincaid a lot as a prospect. I think a lot of Bills, you know, observers do. But as this is all unfolding, you know, the Bills have been compared. I mean, they're bringing up the rear, chasing the Chiefs here with their 2 Super Bowls and the playoff wins over the Bills. But you hear a lot like, well, a couple of years ago, the Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill and, you know, they followed it was win 2 Super Bowls since then. I'm like, they've got Travis Kelce, and I get pushback from Bills fans. Well, Dalton Kincaid, I'm like, slow down. Okay. Like, maybe he becomes the best tight end in the league eventually, but year 2, I'm not ready to bet on it.
I wouldn't bet on it either. I mean, that is a good point that Kansas City was able to make an offense work last season with Kelce and Rice dominating the short area targets. I do think we'll see from Kansas City's perspective, they realize they flew too close with the sun with that decision making, and they are going to go the total opposite way. I mean, they already acquired Hollywood Brown. I think they're very likely to take a wide receiver at 32, maybe even a trade up. And I do think it will be more of a field stretching type of guy. I honestly hesitate to even say this, but I think the worst case scenario, if you're the Bills, is Keon Coleman. I think that is too volatile of a profile to spend this. Like Buffalo really has got to get this pick right. Like, a Quentin Johnston situation with this pick is not good. And I think Coleman has very high QJ potential.
With Davis Maddock, interesting you bring up the possibility of the Chiefs trading up, because this year I think they would be able to. Unlike, was it last year when they picked last and they hosted the draft and they had the big ceremony and they were just, I felt like there was no way they were able to make a trade if they wanted to, right, having the last pick. That was last year, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, they
yes.
won the Super Bowl the year before.
Yes. Yeah, okay. You're so right. I mean, it's because people had kind of bandied that around, which is, you know, like they want to end the evening with the pick. You're right. I mean, I don't think they will trade up. Just organizationally, they're kind of opposed to trading up. They're more like the Patriots trying to trade down or actually just trade picks for veteran players. I'm pretty sure the Chiefs are going to stand pat.
When we know we'll have been right about this is when they make a trade up with the Lions. And then the Lions will have the last pick at their year of hosting the draft, and they'll do whatever they're going to do. With Davis Maddock, you make that point about Kincaid. You know, you're saying the Bills should be careful not to, in one way of putting it, maybe force him or just like try to make sure you're doing your utmost to justify that pick would be another way. That's good logic, but teams do that all the time. You know, one thing about here is they have a different offensive coordinator. And the story we got fed last year, Davis, was that Ken Dorsey really wanted the Kincaid piece and, you know, multiple tight end formations and different things. That might be where they end up. I mean, Kincaid is first-round capital, and Knox gets money. Like, he's really paid here. But no, you're right. Teams do that all the time, but they shouldn't.
I mean, contracts are going to end up, I mean, just look at any number of organizations with a bunch of highly paid veterans. And, you know, I mean, one of the things that we've liked about coaches like Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll or whatever is that they don't care about who is getting paid the most money. But that's kind of an organizational cachet thing. And I mean, I think the Bills coaching staff is pretty strong, so I don't think that's likely. And I mean, I think the vast majority of outcomes is Kincaid's like a pretty good player who will deserve the target, deserve the targets that he gets. But the thing I'm worried about is that I don't know how far the offense goes if they stick to the plan they did last year, where the throws got closer and closer to the line of scrimmage after Joe Brady took over. I think Josh Allen's ultimate ceiling is actually playing much more vertically, and and that was kind of the problem with Diggs, was as he aged a little bit, he just was less effective down the field, and that was kind of the changing context to the Bills' offense.
Right, and that's where the Worthy thing comes in. But A.D. Mitchell is plenty fast, too, in a much bigger body. Just talk a little bit about like him as an idea and a fit within this receiver class. Because I've crushed on as many as a half a dozen of these guys as we've made our way through, like since February up to now here, and the draft is still a week off. So I don't know, I still have time to find another guy, I suppose. But Mitchell has spent a significant amount of time at like the top of my wish list.
Well, depending on who you ask, A.D. Mitchell is either this super fascinating college prospect or just like the total biggest bust that you're ever going to find. His like, you know, a lot of his advanced stuff, his yards per route run, his share of team yards and things like that don't look that good. I'm zooming out even further than that instead of zooming in, which is he started as a true freshman on a Georgia team that won a national championship. He scored 4 touchdowns. You know, he was in there, and actually Jermaine Burton transferred to Alabama because he didn't think he was going to be able to stay ahead of A.D. Mitchell. And the guy played 5 college football games and scored 5 touchdowns. I think he wasn't 100% utilized as a guy who could dominate an offense in college, but I think he can. I mean, it just like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm the greatest film watcher of all time, but when I watch him play, I'm like, yeah, that guy looks like a type of guy who could become Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, like that style of guy to me.
What then, Davis, do you do, if anything, with the stats? Production. This is Brian Thomas also, at least generally. Yards per route run, right? That's what I keep hearing about listening to fantasy podcasts is look out, yards per route run. You've got the guys at the top of this class who are like double Mitchell and maybe Thomas. So is that irrelevant to you? Is it easily explained away? Kind of a little bit of what you were just doing, you're focusing on. I'm sure you know like the how it sounds to guys like me, or maybe may I say us, when you eschew those statistics and you focus on small samples like playoffs and touchdowns and things like that, you know that, you know, you're going to get pushback.
So it's definitely super relevant, right? I mean, there's a reason why A.D. Mitchell had the combine that he had, came off the final season that he had at Texas, and his, I mean, he was a 4-star recruit. Like, this is a player who has been, and the NFL has been aware of him for a long time. There's a reason why he's not viewed as a top 4 wide receiver, top 5 wide receiver in this class. And it's because he played with a lot of other NFL players, and he really was not better than them. You know, Xavier Worthy had more yards than them. Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers had more yards, more receptions, more targets than him when they played together at Georgia. From a archetype standpoint, what you would say was that he, if he busts, we'll go back and look at it, and we'll say this is a Henry Ruggs, Marquez Valdez-Scantling style guy, like incredible speed, great agility, great size, like just like a physical phenom. But when he gets to the NFL level, defensive coordinators are aware of him. He's got to learn an NFL playbook. He's got to finalize all the small nuances of his game. He just never really had that ability. My overall philosophy is I tend to bet on the tools and they figure it out at the next level versus the guys who, for example, Ladd McConkey, who I've seen mocked at the back end of the first round. Ladd McConkey is going to be a good NFL wide receiver. I think it's almost impossible for him to be a great NFL wide receiver, just given his physical tools. And he has got good physical tools, but not great physical tools.
Okay. If we have time to get off the Bills, we will, and we hope to. But I told you already, I want to ask you about running back here in this draft. I know. Running back draft capital. Bulldog is ready to spank me for this. I mean, I'm not talking about the first or even the second round, hopefully. But
Sunday. Is there more rounds on Sunday?
If they extend the draft to Sunday,
12 rounds.
I'm in. No. Is there a player or a type even? You've got Cook. Ty Johnson, I think, impressed them. Also, Josh Allen literally ran for 15 touchdowns last year in a season when they were trying to curtail that. What would you do? What would your running back plan be if you were they?
I mean, I definitely think that there's enough indication that they want another guy in there with James Cook. Like they were playing with Latavius Murray. They were playing Ty Johnson. They signed Damian Harris to the contract last offseason, and then he ends up medically retiring this offseason. The three guys I would highlight, Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State University. He was the leading FCS rusher last year. Kamani Vidal, another small school guy who shouldered like 90% of his team's carries. And then if they wanted a pass catching back and kind of wanted to maybe have Cook add 5 or 6 pounds in the offseason and concentrate more on his early down stuff, I am obsessed with this pass catching running back, Dylan Laube from the University of New Hampshire. He's got more receiving yards in his college career than some of the wide receivers who were going to go in the first round, more than A.D. Mitchell, more than Xavier Worthy, more than Keon Coleman, which is kind of insane. And I think some team is going to take him on day three, and he's going to step in and like immediately be like a really good third down back.
Yeah. There's another guy that was converted from receiver that I've been only hearing. Tyrone Tracy?
Tyrone Tracy from Purdue. Yeah. He originally was at Indiana as a wide receiver. He converted to running back. He's probably, I think sadly, he is probably the type of guy who's very interesting, but for the NFL, offensive weapons really are only so valuable because it really just means the coaching staff doesn't know what they want to do with you, right? Like they know that you're fast. They know that you should be able to generate positive yards on offense. I think he'd be a good day three, and he's a good special teamer, good punt and kick returner. They need to replace that because Hardy's not on the roster anymore, so he would be an interesting add.
Jumping back to receiver here, and not so much as it pertains to the Bills, but the top three guys, like we talk about the guys that'll be maybe in the Bills neighborhood, lower half of the first round. How do you have the top three guys, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Adunze stacked yourself, Davis?
Yeah, I mean, I have them. I have them in that order. I think I actually think they're all a tier of their own. I think Harrison is in a tier of his own. I think Neighbors is in a tier of his own. And I think Adunze is in a tier of his own. Does that mean either of them would be bad picks or reaches inside the top 10 picks? Absolutely not. I think they're all likely to be, 7, 8, 9, 10-year starters in the NFL. I do think with Harrison, he will immediately, by week five, we'll be like, yeah, this guy is basically as good as Jefferson and as Chase. Neighbors, maybe I'm 3% concerned that he played in a very, a big number friendly system with a great college quarterback, and then Adunze is he's just going to be in a super elite possession wide receiver. I don't think he'll stretch the field nearly as much as the other two, but I think he's just going to be extremely solid.
Last thing quickly, who do you predict will make the McCarthy mistake?
The Minnesota Vikings, I think, are going to trade, they have 13 and 28, I believe. They have two 10? First-round picks. Yeah, they're 10. Yeah,
11
and
23.
11 and 23.
11
Vikings.
And 23. Yeah.
11 and 23, yeah. They're trading up to 5 with the Chargers pick, and they're going to take J.J. McCarthy.
Perfect sense for L.A., but maybe it'll work out. Who knows? Who knows about any of this? Davis, thank you. Glad to be invited into that Hardaway draft. We'll be drafting together over there. That'll be a piece of cake.
Yeah, beautiful. I can't wait. That's always one of the funnest drafts of the year.
Very good. Thanks, Davis. Good job.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
You're welcome. Davis Matic, Mattek. The Hardaway draft is what was I saying yes to this for? Hey, Mike and Adam Krautwurst, the Deep End, our podcast. Hey, guys, we've got an opening in this Hardway draft. I know of it. like every year, it's like an early June 1st, maybe $350 against like him, 10 other absolute sharps in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, what am I trying to prove? Like, why do I have to, why would I choose to spend, say we split it, $175, you know, maybe we could win, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's fantasy football. You know what you're doing. I don't know about Adam.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, good luck with that anchor tying you down.
Exactly. We have a Jaden Daniels problem. You and I might, too. Like, it's you and I are the Bills, so who cares whether you like Jaden Daniels
I don't
more
want,
than
I do. I don't want New England to get him. I hope he goes to Washington at 2.
Yeah, you're sort of afraid of him, and I'm not. I don't really think he's that good. But for us, for our purposes, so what? Like,
right.
But in these drafts, like, we could have a problem. I think we might be the first show that would break up because of a player take. Because I just
really
don't, I don't.
You don't like him that much?
He's an amazing runner, it seems. But I can't listen to, like, he's better than Jackson or anything like that. Just, like, no. No. The Jaden did. This would be good with Davis because Davis has been spreading the Jaden Daniels propaganda. I don't know. Like, I spared.
I wish we would have brought it up when he was here.
I know. I didn't think of that.
I would have liked to team up on you with him.
Yeah. Just. I keep watching these clips of him getting destroyed in the open field. When have you ever seen Lamar Jackson get hit?
Good point. It might be like five plays, though. You know what I mean?
It might be five plays.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know how big. But yeah, no, it is the thing that has been the most cumbersome to sort of get past if you're going to say, I like this player, because he does look like, you know, a cartoon character having an anvil land on his head.
Look at, that's not even this, though. Look, check out the Ben Solak chart on Daniels. Percentage of plays, maybe it's under pressure, maybe it's just plays where he got sacked, whether, like, stand and deliver is like the big piece of the pie. Stand and deliver is like 36%. And just think of, like he said, how low that is for a guy as good of a runner as he might be. Like Jackson, so many things about his game he doesn't get credit for because the running is so spectacular. This is one where he doesn't get hit. He does stand in the pocket longer than most quarterbacks and throw the ball. Like, that's what the scouts want to see. Mm-hmm. Great that you can run, but will you also hang in there? I mean, who was it last year that got out? Maybe it was Stroud, actually. One of the guys was dinged because he kept getting out of the pocket, and he had a great offensive line.
Bailing out too soon, that kind of rep.
Yeah, but Fields had the really high sack percentage, and, like, look out, processing questions, these things. Yeah. And it seems like Daniels might even be in that club. But I don't know. Just like with A.D. Mitchell, you pick the ones that mean the most to you. The traits, the stats, you pick the ones that mean the most to you and, you know, fire off your takes. 803-0550 for your calls on the draft, less than a week, or no, just over a week away. I don't need to rush it. Also, yesterday's Sabres news, the coaching change, we're here for your calls on that front as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, lines are open now. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.